Okay, welcome everybody to our special Young Israel of Woodmere Sisterhood Shiur. Thank you for having me back, to those who invited me, thank you to those for coming to learn, thank you to those who's the hostess. This is called Mitzvahs, Rabbin Home, shall always be home for Torah and Chesed. So we're going between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Zaser Simi Teshuvah, Tevila Tzedakah, Ma'aviren, Esrola HaGzeirah. It's repentance, teshuvah, tefillah, prayer, tzedakah, charity that erased the evil decree. And we're all trying to get into Be'ezras Hashem, the Sefer HaChaim, the Book of Life. Shofar prompts what Rav Soloveitchik calls the crisis awareness. The crisis awareness exists, says the Rav, when man is aware of himself. And when he is aware of himself, he realizes how much life hangs in the balance. He's afraid of the future. He regrets the past. He's worried about his fate. He's sad over lost time. This is the crisis awareness that is prompted by Tekiah Shofar. So I thought tonight, with a little bit of an introduction into this time period, introduction into Teshuvah, it would be nice to have some insights into Sefer Yonah, which is a very interesting story that, in fact, we read in the afternoon on Yom Kippur. So we're going to learn some lessons out from Sefer Yonah after a brief introduction into this time period of Teshuvah. You don't want to sit down? Okay. Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch writes in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, Olam Hazeh Doma L'Pruzadar B'fnei Olam Haba. This world is compared to the antechamber, or the hallway before the banquet hall. Haskein Atzmecha B'Pruzadar. You got to prepare for yourself when you're in the walkway, when you're in the pathway in the antechamber. Kadei Shetikane Satarklin. You want to get into the banquet hall. You want to get into the main show. Nobody wants to stay. You don't want to be the guy in the nosebleed section. You want to have good seats behind home plate. So you got to make sure you get in. So Shamsher Fal Hirsch says in his commentary in Pirkei Avos, we have all been invited to the banquet of the King of Kings, but only he who has made himself worthy will be admitted to the banquet hall. You have to pay a lot of money to be behind home plate. You're behind the nosebleed section. You paid a lot less, so you're in the hallway, so you need to buy a ticket. Only he who is worthy will be admitted. This world is where we prepare ourselves. Make use of your sojourn in the antechamber, in the vestibule, to make yourself worthy of entering the great hall itself. And the great hall itself can be compared to, in our time period, the Sefer HaChaim. And we have to make use of this time period to make sure that we enter the Sefer HaChaim. A story is told about a certain Hasidic rabbi of Nachum of... Sometimes they make these names very hard. I don't think it's on purpose. Rav Nachum of Stefan Shet, the son of Rabbi Yisrael Vrajin. He lived from 1796 to 1850. So he went to enter the Beis Medrash on the Bachum we're supposed to be learning. And he found his Hasidim playing checkers. And they were aghast, here's Rabbi, and they're playing checkers, and they're in the Beis Medrash, they're supposed to be learning Torah. So a smile played on the Rabbi's lips, and instead of giving them strong musr, he gave them musr with love. He taught them a lesson. Do you know the rule of the game of checkers? The rules, the Hasidim didn't know what the Rabbi was talking about, but he continued. And he said, the rules of checkers are the same rules as Avodas Hashem. Let me teach you how to play. Number one, in the game of checkers, you always move up. Now, by the way, I don't know checkers so much, but apparently this is how you play. Similarly, a servant of Hashem always must be moving up in his avodas Hashem. You have to strive to reach higher levels. Learn about gedolim, learn about greater than you, learn musar. You know, sometimes people tell me about the Hani Machlis book. I don't like to read it. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm never going to be Hani Machlis. It's true. I'm never in my life going to be Hani Machlis. Did you read the book? No, if you didn't read, you have to. Don't be afraid. It's true. I'm never in my life I'm going to be like her. So I shouldn't learn of someone who's greater than myself. You always have to be moving upwards. Number two, you can't jump two spaces at a time. It's so important for Avodas Hashem. Rav Soloveitchik says, in Judaism, things make sense. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 does not equal 5. And he doesn't only mean in math, he means in life. And I say, if a person wants to lose 100 pounds, so first they have to lose 5 pounds. You can't take yourself from there to here. Similarly, in Avodas Hashem, there's stages. I can't say I don't have kavanah in davening, so I'm going to open up the siddur tomorrow morning. I'm going to have kavanah for every word. So what am I doing? Setting myself up for failure. You have to move in stages, in steps. Number three, at times, oh, so important. It's worth giving up the opportunity to move ahead one space in order to move two spaces later. Similarly, in Avodas Hashem, you have to know sometimes you have to withdraw in order to attain a higher level later on. Vatranus, giving up your position. Tzimtzum, contracting from what you aren't. Rav Elimelech Biderman says that the person who is victorious in issues of Shalom Bayis is the one who's mevater. You want something, the other person wants something. Who's the real winner? The person who got what they want or the person who gave in? I'm not talking about, I don't know, fasting on Yom Kippur, don't give in. Okay, I don't know. But if it's a small issue, you want to go to Melchik, he wants to go to Fleishik, you really want Melchik, you really don't want to be Fleishik. I'm trying to think of an example. It sounds silly, but it's really not so silly. So Rav Biderman says, the one who wins is the one who's Mevater. So this Hasidish Rebbe, the father of Rav Yisrael Vizhin, the son of Rav Yisrael Vizhin, says, at times it's worth giving up an opportunity if you know you'll advance more later on. And number four, when you reach the top of the board, your piece becomes queen, and then you can move in any direction. Similarly, when a person conquers his evil inclination in a certain area, he will be empowered in that specific area. What does it mean? It's not going to be a taiva for you anymore. When you work so hard to battle your yetzer hara in a specific area, and you overcome bali tar misayin and osa, it won't be a battle for you anymore. So I'm going to give you a personal example. Everyone has their own example. It's just my personal example. I remember back in the day when I used to go to movies. Again, personal example. I remember when I used to go. So then I overcame. It's not a taiva for me anymore. I don't not go and I want to go. Do you understand? You come. There's two different levels. The first level is I don't do something even though I want to do it. I withhold. That's amazing. It's geschmack. It's tremendous before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then there's a level where you don't even want it anymore. Don't think you're so great after that. Then what happens next? You have the next battle. It's not that the HR gives up, he just shifts tactics. But you come to the point where you're the queen, i.e. you don't feel a taiva for that anymore. You can move in any direction. And we need to employ these tactics to be successful in the area of teshuvah. The Rambam writes something so beautiful. The Rambam writes in Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Tshuva, chapter 7, Al yadam ebal tshuva shu merachach mimalas ha-tzadikim. A repentant shall not think he is far from the level of the righteous. Sometimes I think I did so many averus, I was so nirsha, because Shvar Hu doesn't want me anymore. You shouldn't think that. Al yidma bal teshuva shu mirachuk mimalas ha-tzadikim. You're close to the level of a tzaddik. Don't think about your past sins. Ein hadavar kein ela ahuv v'nechmad hu lefnei ha-borei. When you can leave a sin, you are ahuv and nechmad before the Creator. It's not that He just accepts you. You're beloved. You're precious before Him. Ki ilu lo chata me'olam. It's as if what happens to those sins, it's as if you never sinned in your entire life. The elo od elashascharu harbe. Your reward is so great. Why? Why is your reward so great? Sharei ta'am ta'am hachet. Upeirash v'meru. Because you tasted this cheeseburger. You know it's good. It tastes so good in your mouth. It has a certain mouthfeel, a certain deliciousness, a certain fattiness you like, a certain coating, a certain flavor. You taste it. Ta'am ta'am echeid. I know that example is not relevant to anybody here, but I'm using it as an example. Pei rash v'men of a kol v'shitzu. And you added so badly the sin, but the next time you walk by, you're successful. You are pei rash v'men. You separate from it. You conquer your yetzer. And therefore the sages say, in the place where the repentant stands, the truly righteous do not stand. The Rambam quotes the Gemara. Klomer ma'alasim gedol mimalas elu shelochatu me'olam. Their level is greater than those who have never sinned. Mipnei shem kovshim yetzram yoser mehem. Because you're required to be kovish your yetzer on a much greater level than one who never ta'am aveira. It's much harder to know what the cheeseburger tastes like and then not go into the store and not eat it. And again, I know this is an example not relevant to anybody here. But fill in your own blanks. You know what it tastes like in the moment of sin in your peirush. With this overview of Teshuvah, we move to the story of Yonah. Why do we read the story of Yonah on Yom Kippur afternoon, on the holiest day of the year, on the Shabbat Shabbatan? Interesting story. We know the basic overview. Hashem appears to Yonah and he tells him, go to the city of Nineveh. They're a bad city. They're wicked. They're sinners. Yonah what? Goes to Yafo. And he buys a ticket on a cruise. And the cruise is not going to Nineveh. The cruise is going to Tarshish. I'm going somewhere else. interesting situation, and he buys a ticket, and a big storm comes up, and they're tossing, and they're turning, they're throwing things overboard. Everybody's afraid the ship's about to capsize, it's going to be the next Titanic, and what happens is Yonah goes to sleep. And the ship captain comes and he says, what are you doing? Wake up, call out to your God. Maybe we will find favor in Hashem's eyes and he will save us. Why do we have the storm? And Yonah says, ladies, what does Yonah say? It's all because of me. They throw him overboard. A big fish swallows Yonah. Very unusual story. He's in there for 3 days and three nights. What's he doing the whole time he's in there? Davening to Hashem. Hashem tells the fish, spit him out. Yonah spits out and he goes to Nineveh. And what happens when he gets to Nineveh? The people listen to him. They do teshuva, sackcloth, ashes. You with me? We read the story every year. Are we in show for this part? Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol nehi abidvaram. Amen. Thank you. They do teshuva. The king does teshuva. Everybody repents. Yonah's not so happy that the people did teshuva. How's it going to look? The Klal Yisrael had prophets and they don't do teshuva. Very interesting story. So I want to derive some lessons from you, with you, as to why we read this story on the holiest day of the year. Shabbat, Shabbaton, V'nisim, Esnaf Shoseichem. It's the holiest day. It's Yom Kippur. The day itself brings atonement. I quoted this in a shir on Sunday for those who are with me. Rav Shemshon Pinchas says, it's not that the Jew makes Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur makes the Jew. Itzomo shel Yom, says Rav Salavitcher. The holiness of the day itself changes who we are as a people. What does this story have to do with anything? So first I want to tell you what Rav Salavitcher says about the story of Yonah. Until this point, on the day, in the day, throughout Yom Kippur, our supplications were focused on Israel's needs. We're talking about Knesset Yisrael. It's a day for us to we crown Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. We spend all these days in slichos, in teshuva, in tefillah, in tzedakah. And we talk about what we need. And so we daven for. We are limited in scope. We request forgiveness for ourselves, request forgiveness for the community. We're all clapping achay. And now we come to mincha. And now we pray for the good of mankind. It's not only, says Rav Salavitcher, anymore about Knesset Yisrael and our needs. We're now beyond the scope of the Jewish people. If the Jew internalizes the message of mincha Torah reading, without considering the Haftorah, the Torah reading tells us to separate from the nations, but the Haftorah reading tells us a story about a non-Jewish city. Who is a non-Jewish city? His people in Nineveh. Then he missed the key message of Yom Kippur, a key message of Yom Kippur. At the end of the day, we remember that we Jews are not alone. We live in a world of Umos HaOlam. And it's true, we're not alone. And what goes on with the Umos HaOlam has great ramification upon Klal Yisrael. You know, I thought to myself after Rosh Hashanah, after my daven, I thought, I forgot to drop daven. Don't make a joke. I'm not making a joke. I'm being serious. I thought to myself, I forgot to daven that things should be stable with Trump. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I'm being serious. I forgot to daven that it should be stable for the Umos HaOlam as well, because when things are not stable for the Umos HaOlam, what happens? Rachman Litzlan. What has history shown us time and again? It becomes not stable for Klal Yisrael. So if Salvechik says, if we focus only on separation from the Umos HaOlam, without considering the message of the story of the people of Nineveh, they had to repent as well. They had to return the Mutav, because when destruction comes to the world, it always invariably affects us as well. I lived in Israel the year of the Gulf War. I was in ninth grade. 1990 to 1991, it was January of 1991, and Saddam Hussein was sending Scud missiles to Israel. Why? I don't even know what he was upset about. I was in ninth grade. I just remember a Canadian kid being caught in this war, gas mask off, school, cheder atum. I don't know, he was upset about something, so he sent missiles to Israel. What happens when there's instability in the world? We're affected. As the end of the day approaches, says the Rav, we remember we are not alone. We recount a tale of Teshuvah, not of Knesset Yisrael, but of an Assyrian city whose population harbored hatred for Israel, says Rav Salavitcher. Yet the gates of repentance are open to all people. Jew and non-Jew, because why, says Rav Salavitch, the entire world needs teshuva. The entire world needs repentance. The entire world needs to come back to the Ribono Shel Olam. Hashem remembers everybody. And this, he says, is the proper Jewish approach to the world. We must maintain our uniqueness, but we must not forget the world in which we live, which is full of people who are not Jewish. And on Yom Kippur, therefore, Sefer Yonah teaches us, we don't only pray for our atonement and our redemption, but for the atonement and the redemption of mankind as well. And this is what is reflected in the Haftorah reading. Why did Yonah initially refuse his mission? So the sages teach us why. He was afraid of exactly what happened. The people of Nineveh would do teshuvah. How would it look for the Jews? He chose the honor of the son, say Chazal, the honor of Bnei Yisrael, over the honor of the father, over the honor of Hashem. He was liable, misa b'dei shamayim. A prophet is not allowed to suppress his prophecy. And nevertheless, he did. Okay. So let's look together at the beginning of the Sefer Yonah. I know you don't have one. I'm going to read some of the psukim, and I'm going to translate as I go along. I won't read all of them. Some of them I'm just going to say outside in English. Vayihi dvar Hashem el Yonah ben Amitai leimor. The word of Hashem came to Yonah ben Amitai, saying, Kum, leich al Nineveh ha'ir ha'gdola. Get up, go to Nineveh, the great city. Before I go even further, I'm going to read you the beginning of Perek Gimel. Vayihi dvar Hashem el Yonah sheni slimer. How does the sefer open? Vayihi dvar Hashem el Yonah ben Amitai leimor. Vayihi dvar Hashem el Yonah sheni slimer. What's missing between the first and the second time? Ah, very nice. Listen to the words. Vayihi dvar Hashem el Yonah ben Amitai leimor. Perak aleph pasuk aleph. Perak gimel pasuk aleph. Vayihi dvar Hashem el Yonah sheni slimer. What's missing? Ben Amitai. Why? What is the root word? When you learn Lashon HaKodesh, try and focus on the Shoreshim. What is Amitai? What word do we have there?
Emes.
Emes. Truth. In the beginning, he's a man of absolute truth. He's a man who is a prophet of God. But what happens when you try and run away from Hashem? What happens when you try and suppress Nevuah? What happens when there's a storm and you go to the bottom and you're supposed to be going to Nineveh and you go to Tarshish? So you lose the crown of what? Emes. He loses the crown of MS. He starts the story as Yonah ben Amitai, but after his journey and his travail, he becomes plain Yonah. Nevertheless, there's hope for him, but he loses the crown of Amitai. Beautiful to point out. Get up, go to Nineveh, the big city, call upon her. Her badness, her wickedness, her evil has come up before me. Yonah got up, livroch tarshisha milifnei Hashem. Yonah knows exactly what he's doing. He's not only going to the wrong place. Who's he running away from? So someone said in a class I gave earlier this week, what was Yonah thinking to run away from Hashem? What do you think I said to her?
He wasn't.
Okay, that's not what I said. He was. What did you say? What happens when I do a virus? What am I doing? When I knowingly do something I'm not supposed to do, what am I doing? I'm not doing the same thing Yonah did. What happens to my crown of MS, Moshe MS, Viso Raso MS? What happens to my crown of MS as a Jew? The seal of truth, Chos Moshe, Kodesh Baruch Hu, is MS, say the sages. What happens to my MS when I run away from the Ribono Shel Olam? Vayishmu is called Hashem Elokim, is Halich Begon, the Ruach Hayom. Who hears God walking in the garden? And what does Adam do? He hides. Why is he hiding? I was embarrassed. I was afraid. I'm naked. Why is he naked from? He's naked from mitzvahs. Why is he hiding? Because he didn't have Avera. What's the end result? He's running away from Hashem. Embedded in that first sin is every one of our Averas. I don't run away from the Ribono Shel Olam. If I'm not talking about you do something by accident, you don't know. The Vavi Mishkan Evnet teaches, within every person is every biblical personality. It's very profound. It means we all have the Emes of Moshe, we all have the Shalom of Aaron, we all have the Emunah of Avraham Avinu, it means we all have the Gaiva of Paro, the Ayin Ra of Bilam. Every person has every biblical personality. Vayakam Yonah livroch tarshisha milifnei Hashem. That's something we have to ask ourselves on Yom Kippur afternoon. as we are striving to change, to be that chozer b'tshuva that the Rambam speaks about. You know, we tend to have a very narrow view of what it means to be a chozer b'tshuva. He's a chozer b'tshuva, he's a baal tshuva. We should all be, halavai. I should be that person who embraces what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants of me. So he buys a ticket, he goes down to Yafo, it's amazing. He finds a ship, it's going to Tarshish, he pays the wages, he wants to go, and again, Malifnei Hashem, and Hashem brings a big storm, and the waves are tossing and turning, and the boat's almost going to break, and the sailors see, and each man calls out to their God. Now I want to tell you something very, very interesting about the story, and I know you don't have a Yonah in front of you, but the name of Hashem that is used, does anyone know which name Hashem is used here? Hashem. Yod, then hey, then vav, then hey. Which denotes? Midas HaRachamim. Which is very, very compelling. It's not until the end of the story we see the emergence of Shem Elohim, which denotes Din, when Hashem becomes angry at Yonah at the end of the story. But the entire story we see the Midah of Mercy, and that's very important. Because tonight she was called Sefer Yonah, a story of compassion and forgiveness. And even while Yonah is not doing the right thing, the Ribbono Shel Olam is compassionate with him. The Ribbono Shel Olam waits for him. Rav Shimshon Pinkas says, look at the chesed of Hashem. While we sin, he gives us life. And the name in the story of Hashem is Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei. So this big storm comes up. Everyone calls out to their gods. Perhaps the most spoken about with the most spoken about words in Sefer Yonah. There's a big storm, and everyone's trying to save themselves. And he goes down to the belly of the ship, he lays down and he sleeps. If Yonah is an analogy to the people that we are sometimes, and he undergoes the process of hearing Shem Hashem, the voice of Hashem calling to him. And we too sometimes run away from the Ribbono Shel Olam, maybe not you. I don't mean to be Chalila condescending. I think it's a fact of life, because an Aveira, a Chet, Rav Salvechik said, Chet does not mean I sin. Chet means I failed. It's interesting that Aveira, the root word is Avar. What happens when I sin? What's Avar to? Cross over, to pass over. What happens when I sin? You move away from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The greatest consequence of sin is the distance it puts between you and God. And Yonah's trying to put distance between him and the Ribbono Shel Olam. He doesn't want to accept the burden of prophecy. Sometimes I don't want to accept the burden of mitzvos. So he goes to sleep. It's possible in life, to be awake and yet asleep in Avodas Hashem. It's possible to be awake and asleep. It's possible to lack passion, dveikus, excitement, feeling. I just go through the motions. And then I'm asleep. And the captain comes and he says, what are you doing? It's an emergency. It's a storm. How could you be asleep in such a precarious time? So they take lots. Whose fault is it that this bad thing happened to us? It emerges that it's Yonah. And he says to him, Ivri Anochi. He knows who he is. I fear Hashem. And they don't know what to do. What should we do to you? Throw me overboard. And they throw him overboard. They don't want to. They're very nice sailors. They throw him overboard. And a big fish swallows Yonah. And Yonah's in the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. What was that? Outside? My husband says, for those who never learned with me before, I have a hearing loss. My husband says, it's one of the favorite things I say. What is that? What is that? Sometimes I hear a sound. I'm not sure it is. Okay. What does he do for 3 days and 3 nights in the fish? He davens. Mamish spends his time davening, which is very important.
Sometimes.
After we run away from Hashem. And then we are asleep in our Avodas Hashem. And the Rambam says, don't think that your sins make you rejected by God. What does the Yetzer Hara come along and do? He puts you down. You never had this? How could you do that? What were you thinking? You think the Ribbono Shel Olam wants anything from you now? You were just impatient 5 minutes ago with your kif. Impatient for no reason. Now you're going to daven mincha? You think Hashem wants your tefillah? You're so bad. How could you do that? You never encountered him? No? I'm alone? I'm talking to myself. We're good friends, me and him. You think Hashem wants your tefillah now? Now that you did that, you passed up the chance to do a chesed. Why? You were in such a rush to get somewhere. You couldn't give someone a lift home. You thought it was the most important thing to get. You were going after. You feel so bad. So what happens when you feel so bad is you think the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want to hear from me anymore. And that's wrong. And it's the tactic of the Yetzer Hara to get us to fall and fail. Because the Rav says, chet doesn't mean I sinned, it means I failed. And when you start to think of yourself as a failure, it will become, Rachmana Litzlan, it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. In Avodas Hashem and in life. One of the most important traits that we need is confidence. Not only in life, but as a servant of Hashem, I am important to God. Even when I make a mistake, He does want to hear from me. I have something valuable to contribute. I'm not condoning sin. It doesn't mean you should go ahead and do something bad and then say Hashem wants to hear from me anyway. A man is fallible. Adam Rishon brought sin to the world. And what does Yonah do? Vayiman Hashem dag gadol levloa es Yonah. Once again, shame Hashem midas harachamim. And Yonah's in the innards of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Vayispalal Yonah el Hashem elokav mimei hadaga. Yonah davens to Hashem, his God, from the belly of the fish. And I called out to you, mitzara. I'm in a place of tzara, Hashem. You answered me. You hear me. You sent me to the depths. He spends his time davening. And perhaps this too is one of the most important messages of Yom Kippur. It's nice to daven to Hashem when you feel in a holy, halo, pure, clean place. But sometimes I don't feel like the person who's perfect. And sometimes I don't feel like the person who's pure. Sometimes I'm down on myself. Dafka then, vayispalo yon. He doesn't say spend 3 days beating himself up in the belly of the fish. How could you? And 3 days davening for Rachmanus, for Rachamim. Please listen to me. Va'ani b'kol toda ezvachalach. I will bring a carbon toda to you. What I have sworn to do, I will fulfill. Hashem is my Yeshua. And at that point, Hashem says to the fish, spit Yonah out to the Yavasha. Any other questions? Did anyone read this book?
Oh, yeah.
Miriam's Song by Miriam Peretz. After, before you read Hani Malchus, read this. I'm really not joking. You must read this. If you never heard me speak about Miriam Peretz, so then I say we definitely don't learn together enough. And before I read this book, I actually heard her speak. I heard her speak at the Young Israel of Woodmere maybe 3 years ago, and I took notes on what she said. And I often quote from her. Her story is, her son Uriel was killed in 1998 in the north in battle with Hezbollah at the age of 22. A few years later, her husband Eliezer, at the age of 56, died, she says, of a broken heart. And then in 2010 in the Gaza Strip, battle with Hamas, her son Eliraz was killed at the age of 31. She says, almost half my family is in God's commando unit in heaven. And I heard her say, with my own ears, I heard her say, I give thanks to God. I love God. I give thanks to God every day. I love Him very much. I didn't read that. I heard her say it. You must read this book. This is a big endorsement. I don't work for them. I have nothing to do with them. I ordered mine on Amazon. You must order this book and read it. So she comments on prayer. We're talking about tefillah. The nekuda of tefillah I'm trying to bring out, teshuvah, tefillah, tzedakah, ma'avir nesroel gzeirah. Please listen to what I'm about to say. It's not that the Ribbono Shel Olam never gives up on us, which he doesn't. You can never give up on yourself. You should never think he never wants to hear from me. You should never think I'm not good enough to daven. You should never think I'm such a sinner, God doesn't want me anymore. It's not that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't give up on us, which he doesn't. Period. Rabbi Munasach. How great is your faithfulness in me? He never gives up. But sometimes we give up. And if I feel like a failure, Rachmana Litzlan, it can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. I am important. And Hashem wants to hear from me. Even when I ran away to Tarshish. So Miriam Peretz was a principal for many years in a Chiloni school, actually. She felt that that's where she could make her biggest impact. And I'm going to quote a section from her book where she talks about prayer. In the mid-1980s, when the tension between the religious and the secular Jews in Israel became razor sharp, I decided to teach the Sidur. You have to understand, she's teaching in a school that is not Dati. The prayer book in the secular school. As expected, the parents were alarmed. Religious coercion. It's scandalous when she asked the students to bring a Sidur to school. I took a deep breath. I asked them, please bring the Sidur to class. Some came to school and said they had no such things in their home. But some parents dug into old crates and they found Sidur room they had received upon becoming bar mitzvah, bearing the once familiar scent of the old family home. The older the Siddur, writes Miriam, the more I felt it was crying to be opened up. The students placed the books on their desk. I invited the parents to attend the event as well. They arrived with mixed feelings. They feared this was an attempt to make them observant. But I began with a popular song, Chana Sanish, Keili, Keili, Shelo Yigar La'olam. Prayer, I explained to the parents, is a conversation between the individual and God. While another may think of this as a higher power, again, she's speaking to not-dati parents, it is speech that flows from within us, from pain or joy. It is speech that can be expressed in a whisper or shout. I remarked that Jews begin the day with Moda Ani. What is Moda Ani? We usually translate as, I thank you, it's wrong. The first word then becomes I. It's not ani moda. Thankful am I. The emphasis is not on me and the anochi of I. It's on Hashem. For me, appreciation, moda ani, is a central value in education and my children and students. And listen what she says next. Even today, when I visit the graves of my two sons, Anhar Herzl, and my husband, it is after I have begun my day with Moda Ani. Thankful am I. I thank God for being able to wake up, stand up, and keep on going. I thank God for the fact that I can see, that I can hear. I thank God that I can walk to the graves of my sons on my own two feet. I'm going to tell a story that I tell often. It relates to another aspect of Yonah's prayer. And that's that he's davening from the innards of the fish. Yaakov Avinu, when he wakes up from his famous dream, Parach Avchas, Bereishis, he's running away from Esav. Shem's at the top of the ladder. Wow, I'm going to be with you. Amazing dream. And by Yikatz Mishnaso Bayomer, Achein Yesh Hashem B'Makom Azeh La'Anochi Lo Yadati. Hashem is with me in this place, in the backwaters of Luz. Thank you very much. Thank you. Hashem is with me in the backwaters of Luz, in this place where I didn't even know. This is Shar HaShamayim. Wherever I am is the gateway to heaven. And that is another important aspect of tefillah that we're understanding. we can always access and reach out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Even here in the belly of the fish, I can spend my days talking to Hashem, whatever situation you are, proverbially. You're trapped, you're in the belly of a fish, you're in the backwaters, you're sleeping on the ground, why do I keep doing that? You can dive into Hashem. This story you may have heard me tell before, I'm going to tell it again. Again, I didn't read this in the book, I heard her tell it. Miriam Peretz and her meatballs. Who heard me say this story? You know how many times I told this story? You know how much chizuk it gives me every single time I tell this story? I never, ever get bored of saying the same thing again. After her son, Eliraz, was killed, it was Erev Shabbat HaGadol. And when she saw them coming, she closed the windows, she locked the doors, she shut the trisim. She said, I didn't want them to come. When you see them coming, the representatives of the IDF, they're coming to tell you only one thing. I did not want to hear this one thing which they have come to tell me. She already had been through this experience, Rachman al-Litzan, with her son Uriel. Erev Shabbat HaGadol. The white tablecloth was on, it was clean. She says, this is a normal house. A normal house, she says, does not lose two sons in battle. So they let them in, they came, there was almost no Shiva, it was Erev Pesach. And she overheard her grandson, Or Chadash Uriel, 6 years old, the oldest of the four orphans of her son Eliraz, say to his sister, Safta will come for Shabbat. Safta will bring meatballs. And Miriam thinks to herself, meatballs? Or Chadash Uriel thinks Safta is going to bring meatballs. This was my son Eliraz's favorite food. I would put up the meatballs in 20 minutes. He would come home with his friends from the army. They would finish the meatballs and rice before I could turn around. Or Chadash Uriel, he was named for his fallen uncle, by the way. Or Chadash, new light should shine, Uriel. Think Safta will come and make meatballs. She was sick. She asked her friend to buy her the meat. She put it in the freezer. She couldn't look at the meat. Next Erev Shabbat, she wakes up at 4 o'clock and she says, Or Chadash Uriel, think Safta's coming for Shabbat. And Safta's bringing meatballs. So she took the meat out of the freezer and she made the meatballs. And she says what took her 20 minutes, used to take her 20 minutes, took her 2 hours. And at the end she had a pot of meatballs. Again, I heard her say this story. She had a pot of meatballs. If she ever comes, you must go hear her speak. Meatballs, sauce, and tears. And she says while she was making the meatballs, she davened. She didn't use that word. She says, I asked God only for one thing. Not for koach for her daughter-in-law Shlo meat. Not for strength for tomorrow. Not for the foresight to give nechama to her four orphan grandchildren. One thing. Please God, help me only to make these meatballs. One thing. Bitzarli akra Hashem. Ba'al alokai ashaveya. Bitzarli. When I find myself in a moment of pain, in a moment of struggle, whether I'm like Yonah b'mei Adaga, I ran away from Hashem, he still wants to hear from me. Or I am the product of some divine gezerah that I cannot understand. How could such a thing be, Miriam says. This is a normal house. But sorry, I ask God only for one thing. That's prayer. Help me only to make the meatballs. Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati. Wherever you are, wherever I am, whatever the nisayon I face in the moment, Hashem is right there. In the belly of the fish, in the kitchen of your home, whatever situation we find ourselves in, that's where He is also. Vayispalal Yonah al Hashem mimei hadag. And He always wants to hear from us. And what I did not hear her say, I don't know if she told it over when she related the story to us, but what I read in the book, the PS to the story is that when she got to the home of Shlomit and the settlement of Eli, and she got out of the car, and Or Chadash came running out to the car, and Or Chadash says, Safta's here. And he didn't say, Safta, I'm so happy to see you. And he didn't say, Safta came for Shabbat. Safta gets out of the car. And Or Chadash Uriel says, Safta, did you bring us the meatballs? The final lesson that I want to bring out from Megillas Yonah, I keep saying that, I'm sorry, Sefer Yonah, is very important. And it really hit me this year. I was learning with a certain individual, and we were going through Sefer Yonah, just the basic story. And when we read these psukim, it was like a big jolt. He spit out of the fish. And what happens next? He is davening to Hashem. Listen to the beginning of Sefer Yonah and listen to the beginning of Perek Yomah. Vayhi dvar Hashem al Yonah ben Amitai lemor. The word of God was to Yonah ben Amitai. We already spoke of Emes. Kum lech al Ninveh hayir agdodo. Cry lach ki al sarasam lefanai. Vayakam lona livroch tarshisha. The word of Hashem is to Yonah. Get up, go to the big city of Nineveh, call upon her, her badness has come before me. Yonah gets up to run away. Yonah runs away from Hashem, we have discussed this, he spends time in the ship, he spends time in the fish, we've spoken about tefillah. Perek Yimel. Vayhi dvar Hashem el Yonah sheni slemor. Kum, lech al Nineveh ha'ir ha'gdola ukra elah. Vayakam Yonah, vayelech al Nineveh. What do you notice? It just hit me, almost like a ton of bricks. It was such a ha'ara when I was learning with this specific person. Hashem just comes back and presents himself a second time. Same Hashem still, with compassion, nicely, calmly. What were you thinking, Yonah? How could you have done that? A little bit of musar, some tochacha, divine rebuke. You idiot, excuse me. You think you could run away from me? The Lashon is almost identical. Yonah messed up. He made a mistake. He ran away from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Look at the compassion that God has upon this individual. And perhaps that's why we read this story. It's a message that's so easy to miss. It's a lesson I never occurred to me before. This is not my first year speaking on the book of Yonah. It's almost the exact same words. Vayhi dvar Hashem el Yonah ben Amitai. Kum lech al Ninveh hayir agdola. Vayakam Yonah livroch tarshisha. Vayhi dvar Hashem el Yonah sheni slemor. Kum lech al Ninveh hayir agdola. Vayakam Yonah vayelech al Ninveh. What were you thinking? We say to our kids, how could you do this? We say to our husband, why did you bring the wrong thing home from the grocery? Didn't you read the list? I wrote it out, I texted, it's in order of the store. This isn't the one I want the other one. Vayhi dvar Hashem el Yonah shenis. Kum. Leich el Ninveh. It's unbelievable. And I never noticed it before. It's a second chance with compassion and mercy and forgiveness. There is the understanding that human beings don't always get it right the first time. And how does the Ribbono Shel Olam deal with us? And I wrote in my notes that it's unbelievable. It is incredible. It is moving, impactful, hopeful, inspiring, caring, and loving. Jonah gets up and he goes to Nineveh. Hashem could have said to him even further, you brought your problems upon yourself. You got what you asked for. It's not my problem. You were in the fish for 3 days. You ran away from me. Rav Elimelech Biderman writes, people are afraid of introspection. They're afraid to discover something about themselves they wish to ignore. In many cities, we now have traffic roundabouts instead of stoplights. Someone explained this is to serve those people who don't want to stop at a red light. We would rather go around in circles than stop and think for a moment in time. But at times it is essential to stop and think. And maybe that's what Hashem gave Yonah, 3 days. Removed, separated, no text message, no people, no children, no laundry, no errands, no work, no dinner on the table. You're by yourself. What have we learned from this situation? Sometimes it's helpful to think he will continue to grow in the future. Everything in the world can be used as a mashal for Avodas Hashem. One of the recent wonders of technology, says Rabbi Biderman, is the GPS. We can learn from this about bitachon, trust, no matter where you are. The GPS shows you how to get to your destination. It's a reminder. Hashem is with you. He's directing you on the right path. Another lesson we learn is how to act with people who aren't acting properly, who don't accept our counsel. When a person takes a wrong turn, and I mentioned this Sunday, the GPS doesn't yell at you. It doesn't say, what were you thinking? It doesn't flash, you fool. It says, rerouting. It tells you what to do now. Similarly, we should not become angry at others when they don't listen to our good advice. We need to show them what to do and how to reach their destination in life. And I think this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam shows us with Yonah. He learned everything from the Malamed Torah La'amo Yisrael. He didn't yell at Yonah. Rerouting. Recalculating. Vayid Varashem El Yonah Shenis. The Bitamin brings down elsewhere. It's interesting. You begin reading the Parsha Shabbos afternoon at Mincha. Then you read it Monday. Then you read it Thursday. Finally Shabbos, you get through the whole thing. Why? He says, he brings a big Mr. Haskell. If you don't get it right the first time, keep trying. Eventually, you will see it brought to completion. Bereshis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim ve-es ha-aretz. Beis reishis. For second chances, the world was created. Beis reishis. For two beginnings, for second chances, the whole world was created. I didn't make that up. So here we are, finishing up the Seres Yemei Teshuvah almost. What's tomorrow? Wednesday? Almost Yom Kippur. We need to remake the people we are. We all want to be the Chozer B'Teshuvah. Because B'makom Shabali Teshuvah Omdim Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Omdim. We have all tasted the taste of failure. Chet doesn't mean I sinned, it means I failed. We can leave it. We have to be empowered. We have to know that wherever we are, we can dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam, and He always wants to hear from us. It's not that He doesn't give up on us, which He doesn't. So we can't give up on ourselves, which sometimes we feel we might do. And finally, and I hope for you, it was very powerful for me realizing this and learning this and understanding this, that when we get it wrong, there is Vayihi Devar Hashem El Yonah Shenis. You have another chance. And it's with kindness, and it's with compassion, and it's divine rachamim. If there's ever a time to embrace that second chance, it's now. Beis reishis. For second chances, the world was created. So I wish you all a gemar v'chsima tova. To find the koach within ourselves, the humility, the courage, the ratzon, the strong desire to be the person who not runs from Hashem, but runs towards Hashem. I wish you all Shana Tova, Umevurachas, Amen, Amen. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.